Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 494th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And finally, we're brought to you by the SGPN merch store, 15% off everything when you use promo code PLAYOFFS.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 494 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode's going out to Gumby promised one to someone if they answered a trivia question. So going out to Bria Roger is how I'm going to say your name today for knowing who Robert California was. My son knew who it was as well. So this goes out to Bria Roger. Thank you for coming to the show. Episode 494, as we race towards 500, even though 500 is going to be nothing. It'll be a normal episode next week, I guess, by the time we hit it, when we hit it. We're covering an event today that I didn't even realize was happening. So luckily Gumby is on the ball here and realized that a road to UFC finals are happening this coming weekend. So we will cover that. Actually, it's coming around a week from when you get this gets into your ear holes. But before we do all that, we'll talk about we'll go around the world of MMA, mostly regional MMA, see how Gumby's picks did. Talk some UFC, all that fun stuff. So if that sounds good, buckle up. We're going to have some fun. Let's bring in the regional MMA god himself, Gumby Vreeland, to discuss these things. But first, he must tell us about the cool dinosaur on his hat.
Oh, yeah. It's just the dinosaur on my hat. It's from the Clink Room, the collective. Yeah, yeah. The unofficial sponsor of my head. Yeah. So that's just it. He's got some sunglasses on.
Nothing wrong with a dinosaur with sunglasses on, right?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And that's why it's on my head. I forgot that I had promised the episode to somebody because it's really hard for me not to dedicate this episode to Rafael Pereira.
Tell us why, Gumby.
After his performance at LFA. So LFA 175 took place in Brazil. And when we broke down the show on, when did we break down LFA? Was that a Wednesday episode?
I think
I think that was the Wednesday episode. We had no odds, and I told you Rafael Pereira for sure going to come in as a large underdog. I believe I predicted plus 300. Well, he came in at plus 350, which is even just a little bit sweeter than the large odds I thought. And not only did he win as a plus 350 underdog, it took him 51 seconds. He stunned his opponent with a left hand, didn't follow the shot up, instead decided to show his opponent his ass, which was an interesting move, and then proceeded to hit him with more punches as he got up and took his back and gave him a rear naked choke with no hooks in, which is a bizarre performance against a high-level Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. And he did it in 51 seconds. I didn't even sweat during the contest. And that's pretty much like a good encapsulation of how my whole weekend went, because
wow, sweat-free weekend.
Regional MMA was nice to me this weekend. Well, let's stick with LFA. So LFA, that was probably my favorite one of the weekend. 3-1-1 in LFA. There was a no contest to kick off the night. What's his name? Pyrrhus badly jammed his finger in Gomez's eyes. It was real brutal. Plus, I think Gomez was kind of looking for a way out.
You sound like all the casuals and every MMA fighter.
I'm saying that, but he was clearly getting beat, in my opinion. Pyrrhus like had Apollo Gomez, like he had him down a couple of times. He seemed to be getting the better of the striking exchanges. He was pressing him up against the cage. Gomez was looking tired. He took fingers in the eye about halfway through the second round, which somebody in the Discord smartly pointed out, like, half the fight was over. Couldn't we have gone to the judges' scorecards in that case? And I think it was just a case of like the Brazilian commission doesn't exactly have the same exact rules as all the American ones do.
Isn't that fun? Ontario too, apparently. Yeah,
it's like all these weird, why do we call it the unified rules of MMA? They're not unified. Like we've sort of agreed on them in some places. Yep. And then apart from that, not so much. So so that one kicked off our night. To kind of ruin the beginning of things. I got my notes here. And then after that was when we got Rafael Paeta, who won as a 3.5-1 underdog. He just absolutely smoked Fernando Larenko, which, by the way, I have to say, I missed something in that fight. You usually are the guy who misses that it was a rematch, but
it was a rematch.
I missed the, like, announcer said, Paeta coming in here looking for revenge, and I was like, the hell, maybe for a teammate. And then I pulled up his Tapology, and his like second or third pro fight was Larenko, and it was like Larenko's like third pro fight. So one of them's got 20 pro fights, one of them's got 12, and they fought like the second or third fight of their career. I think it was 2017 or something like that. So it had been 7 years, so like you probably wouldn't have drawn anything from there. Except for the fact is, I think it made Paeta a bigger underdog. You know, like I placed him as a 300 dog. Maybe that's the extra 50, you know. we got that one, right? I did miss my guy Anderson Fajeda, who was my big underdog last year that I cashed. He's now a favorite. He lost, looked kind of bad against Samuel Silva, which, of course, that's the clip I stole for YouTube Shorts, too, that blew up. The only pick I missed on the whole
world. Yeah.
Of course, the one I put to highlight. Then we got wins from Marcos Tulio, who wound up being a -350 favorite, and Bruno Lopez, who, when he first posted the odds that I'm using, because I always use the odds that first post instead of the ones that move, or I don't try to pick an admin one. Like if we don't have odds when we do it, and I'm using it for my tracking, I always just put whatever they posted as soon as I find it. So. Bruno Lopez started as a -600 favorite, so that's what I gave myself. But he wound up like -400 by fight time, so it would have been a little juicier there. But all in all, LFA would have been 3-1-1, and if you had put $100 on the money line for each of those fights, you would have been up $295.24, so about $300, which was about 3 units. So a good-ass LFA card, thanks to my main man, Rafael Paeta. Yeah.
Fantastic. It sounds like looked like people in the Discord were in on your picks as well, which is
I think there were at least two people, because FPNA, I believe is his name, which hopefully that doesn't stand for something dirty, and I'm only finding that out now. But FPNA was very excited about it. And then what was it? Swedish Voodoo, I think, is the other guy in the Discord who was like, did Paeta really just win? So yeah, there were a couple of people seemingly in on a 3.5-1 underdog on a regional MMA card from Brazil on a boring Saturday night.
Hey, the Gumby God, they listen to him. FP&A means financial planning and analysis, Gumby.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, that's better than any of the things I was.
I'm sure it means something worse.
For some reason, anytime anybody has like initials for their name, it always like gives me like 2 seconds to be like, man, I hope those are your like legal initials and like not before I shout you out on a podcast. I really hope that doesn't stand for something the kids are saying these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you never know, though. You never know. My son might be laughing his head off knowing what I said. But my family doesn't listen, so he'll never hear this. Yep. All right. So that was LFA. Very good. Very good. How about Octagon, I guess, was the next one up on.
Actually, Octagon came before because that was, you know, it was a noontime card. Straight out of the gate, I lost on one. Corey Fry was fighting Max Holzer. I had Corey Fry where I posted Corey Fry, you know, when we did the show, is he was listed as a -163 favorite. So that's what I put in my spreadsheet. By the time the fight rolled around, he was a +150 underdog. I think people might have known something that I didn't know in terms of like injury or something going on with Corey Fry, but like he went from being a very sizable favorite to a very large underdog, and he looked the part in his fight. So that one did not go well for me. Bad one right out of the gate. Then another fight got canceled. Yusef Shoaib pulled out of that fight hurt at the last second. And then in the last four fights, clean sweep to give us a sweep 4-1 finish. We got a win from underdog Stuart Austin, who not only battered his opponent on the feet, but it's got an arm triangle choke that he was +130. We got Aaron Abbey, who swept the board on the judges' scorecards, -225. Matej Panaz, we got to talk about this guy for a second.
Yeah, there's talk of him in the Discord as well. People are into that guy.
He is wild, dude, because like he's got like an 89-inch reach or something like that. That he looks like, he looks like a praying mantis. And he knocked out Matthew Bonner, who had been fighting for all kinds of European organizations that had never been finished. And he hit him with one of the meanest shots to the ribs I've ever seen, crumbled him terribly. He looked every bit the -800 favorite he was. And this is a guy who didn't get to the UFC because he got tapped out by Cedricus Dumas on Contender Series. And it will continue to perplex me till the day I die, because now we are getting all of these Cedricus Dumas fights in the UFC in his like crazy Florida man Twitter. And we are not getting Panaz, who is like a dazzling striker with seemingly decent takedown defense, which we got to see a little bit of. He was a -800 favorite. Probably doesn't need too much analysis on that one. And then my guy, Jonas Magard, in the main event, just absolutely wrestled Jack Cartwright to death. He did get himself stuck in a buggy choke at the end of a round, but slammed his way kind of out of it, and basically just until he was safe, until the bell rang. But he was only a -120 favorite, so that encapsulates our 4-1 night on Octagon, plus if you bet $100 on every single one of those fights, plus 170.28. So like 1.7 units, if that's how you prefer to measure things. So we got plus 170 on Octagon, plus 295 on LFA. And should we do the ad reads before we talk about 1FC?
Yeah.
Absolutely insane 1FC is.
Yep. And then we'll, we're all about measuring unit sizes on this show. So we'll measure some more unit sizes when we get back after we tell you about Underdog Fantasy. I'm sure they appreciate me segueing into their ad read, talk about that. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football when it's going on, MMA, tennis, they got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby, do you have a spicy or mild or medium play for us?
Yeah, I'll take the Bulls are playing late night tonight. I'll take Kobe White. I think Kobe White is listed at 22.5 points. He's gone for 25 and 26 in back-to-back games. So I think he probably keeps up that kind of rhythm and at least gets me 23 here, especially with I got crap for how I said Vucevic's name last time. But especially with Vuce all banged up a little bit. So Kobe might have to tackle a little bit more of the scoring.
Do they have higher and lower on the size of his hair? I don't think they do. They should, though.
It's fantastic, man. And yeah, it seems like every single time somebody gets a freeze frame picture of him that I can use in an article. Which, yep. By the way, we do articles all the time on Underdog Fantasy over on
every day.
SGPN. It seems like every single one, it's doing something wilder, which is fantastic.
It's got a mind of its own, that hair of his. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code. Sorry, not just normal SGPN, MMA SGPN. We want to get credit for it. So it's MMASG.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And I appreciate whoever it was that ripped Gumby about his pronunciations. It's appreciated because it wasn't me for a change, which is nice, right?
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
Go ahead.
Am I wrong? Is it not Vucevic?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I thought it was Vucevic. Maybe I stumbled on it that time. Yeah, but I thought I nailed it.
the YouTube commenter is going to love that we're doing pronunciations again. someone enjoys when I spend most of the episode trying to pronounce someone's name. So I'm going to lean into it even harder now. The fans like. All right, before we move off Octagon, let's talk about Octagon. It seems to really be on the upswing, eh? At least based on our metrics, people listening, people commenting, people talking in the Discord on it. It seems that Octagon seems to be the top regional promotion right now, at least in terms of interest.
It's giving, I think, first of all, the big one, especially in this, like, you know, the gambling community, is just that, like, the odds are available early and readily, and there's enough volume on it that you see some movement, so you can think about whether or not you're getting good value and stuff like that. And I think that's important to a lot of people. And then the production quality is, like, I mean, it's better than PFL, and PFL's on ESPN, but that's mostly just because I can't possibly deal with PFL's, you know, the little bar on the bottom that tells you how fast somebody's punch was. Like,
there's a lot of stats.
Dude, it's why, just getting off there. They really were like, here's an idea, and then they gave it to like a 4-year-old who overdid it. Just one of those things. So yeah, I mean, like, Octagon, it's clean, it's good. The English broadcast is fantastic. I can't, you know, comment on how good the Czech broadcast is, but the English one is phenomenal. They do really awesome work. And in the stands, they showed us a picture of Matej Panaz's, I believe his fiance was sitting front row, and she was arm in arm with Gogi the monkey. So there's the other
wow
thing. Gogi arm in arm with her, rooting on Panaz. So they're working all angles, so I appreciate that.
And there's another Octagon coming up next week, which I'm penciling in. I think we're gonna have to cover that because the fans seem to enjoy it.
They do. They do very much so.
Yeah, so we'll have to lean into that. If you heard her scream, the dinosaur in Gumby's hat got loose and ate one of his children, but he's got another kid, so it's okay.
That's okay. Yeah,
it was just one scream, right?
That's why we had two.
Exactly. That's why we duplicate these things. All right. Yeah, next Octagon's got East Women's Strawweight Championship on the line. So
yeah, I think I saw Ava Dorth is fighting for the title again. Yeah.
Yep.
She just had a really nice performance in December.
Cool. Very good. All right. 1FC never disappoints with the craziness. And we had our main event fighter back out last minute because two of his coaches got deported.
They didn't even get deported. They just couldn't be cage side. Is my understanding. Okay. So my understanding,
I heard they're headed back to the States, he wrote, but maybe not.
So he did say that he was going back to the States with him, but I don't think they were being deported. I think they just didn't have a work visa, which to my understanding meant that they couldn't be cage side. They could be spectators, which means in theory he could have just found, you know, somebody in the area to, you know, bring him his water bottle or something like that.
And well, he said someone volunteered. He says some world champion.
I'm sure there were a billion people. I'm sure there were a billion people.
One lined up some world champion BJJ guy to help corner him, but he said no. So Chase backed out of a main event slot, which I don't know.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
I called him Chase.
His name's not Chase.
Yeah, it's Sage, but that's okay. but like, what a weird ass move. And then it wound up being John Lineker down. I mean, I guess he weighed in closer to that weight, but like, if we're talking about their actual weight class, Lineker's a 35er, and that fight was supposed to take place at 70, right? Like, and so, you know, Lineker wildly, they called it an open weight fight by the end of it. I was like, what a weird ass thing to do. And of course he got submitted, because, you know, the reason I took Sage Northcutt, which, by the way, his number ballooned after we talked, definitely wasn't playable by fight time. Yeah, I think he was like negative 450 by fight time.
Blame Gumby for that, everybody.
Yeah, totally not playable by the time that happened. But like, the reason I liked him is because he was big enough and strong enough to keep Aoki from taking him down. And like, then you give Aoki a giant size advantage, and of course he was in there beating up Lineker. So yeah, that was a weird one, but again, a pretty awesome night overall. So let's run through the results. My short king in the opener, Gustavo Ballart, beat Hiroba Minowa. That was a negative 110 slight underdog, because you were getting negative 130 on the other side. So started the night out right with my 4'11" guy, scoring enough takedowns to take a very close decision. And then Bokang Masayune picked up a win as well, negative 175, kind of a one-sided decision. My lone loss on the night came from Yuya Wakamatsu, who beat Danny Kingad in their rematch. So that was kind of a bummer. But then we got an underdog in Ayaka Miura, who beat Itsuki Hirata. And she was coming in at plus 125. So we hit a dog there. And then, of course, Gary Tonin doing Gary Tonin ass things by choking out Martin Wynn, negative 225. So once again, for the third consecutive event of the weekend, just one loss. So we went 4-1, 3-1-1, and 4-1. And in 1FC, if you had bet $100 on all of those, that would have come out to $217.50. So on the weekend, 11 wins, 3 losses, 1 no contest. And if you had bet $100 on all 15 of those fights, you would have come out up 683.01. So almost 7.
Everyone
did.
Everyone, yeah. At the very least, they did that because they have to. It's one of the requisites of listening to the show. Fantastic job.
The law. Yeah. So we are we're on the year up 14-13-02 on regional MMA at 26-9.
Is that good enough for you all or what? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can beat that. You can try, but I don't think anybody's beating that.
And like career wise, you're way up as well, right?
Yeah. Maybe,
not that much up, but
I mean, like I pretty much almost reached my last year's total. I think my last year's total was like 16 units. Now I do have to maintain this for another 11 months, but it's a decent head start.
No problem. Exactly. Just like 2 years ago when I was way up in my overall picks, and then slowly but surely I gave all the money back. But
I remember that.
That's that gambling was, for
pretty
you.
Pretty damn epic.
All right. Let's finish up the ads, and then we will give you some picks before we're out of your ear holes. It won't just be a recap episode. We will actually give you some more winning picks. We're going to start off with telling you about Cut. First of all, Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for dollars. The social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Reminder, Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and legal in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And our merch store is still having a sale. You can get a hat like the one I'm wearing right now. SGP hat. 15% off everything in the store now until the end of the month with promo code playoffs. And once again, we are competing against other shows for a bonus. So get in there, buy your MMA gambling podcast gear. We have lovely shirts, mugs, hats. We got it all. So get in there, check it out. It's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your checkout code to get you a discount. All right, Gumby, unbeknownst to me, luckily Gumby knew, Road to UFC Vegas, Las Vegas is called. The finals are this weekend. It's happening right after the UFC event, right?
Yeah, Saturday? I think there will probably be a little bit of a gap there because my understanding is that the Road to the UFC fights are going to start at 12:30.
Yeah.
So just right after midnight. And the card starts at 4 with like 12 fights. I think that's probably going to end around 10:30 maybe. And then maybe 11 at the worst. So you're going to have like an hour and a half for them to like clean up, probably change some of the signage, maybe get a different announcer in there. And then, then we're going to get weirdly 3 fights just after midnight.
Yeah. Yeah. We lost a fight. The bantamweight championship fell out. I think there was visa issues for that one. So they're
my understanding on that one is that when they decided to change, because remember this fight card at the Apex was originally supposed to be China.
Yeah,
it was originally supposed to be overseas somewhere. Yeah, it was supposed to be China. So I think it was a lot easier to get visas there. And my understanding is that Chang Ho Lee, who is one of the members of the bantamweight finals, had a little bit of trouble. Because if you notice, anybody from Japan or China pretty much had no problem turning their visa around really quick. And I think Korea was maybe like a little bit more of a stickler in terms of like getting their visas out and being able to move. So Chang Ho Lee, I believe, is the one who did have to pull out.
All right. So hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later. So instead of four finals, we get 3. We get flyweight, we get featherweight, we get lightweight. All these fighters have already won 2 fights this year, and now they're on the last fight. This one will get them into the UFC. So we shall start at the bottom of the card. As Gumby said, it's Sunday, technically Sunday Eastern time, 12:30 a.m. Eastern. So right after the UFC Saturday night. Shortly thereafter, we got Road to UFC at the Apex. All right, we're going to kick things off. 3 5-minute rounds at flyweight. Rei Tsuruura versus Jinyu Shiyu. And this is, like as I said, at a flyweight bout. We do not have any odds yet for this. Usually Road 2 ones get released pretty early. I'm kind of surprised by this.
Yeah, they do. But remember, most of the time we've done the road shows, we've done them on like Thursday or Friday too, as like bonus episodes that we squeezed in. So like it always felt like we had odds, but I don't think we ever did it like a full week ahead of time, because this will be on technically on next Sunday. So like, yeah, we're a whole week away.
All right. So Gumby will give you his thoughts on the odds, and then basically you can make decisions based on that. And you can get in our Discord, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, and chat with Gumby in real time, and he can let you know what he thinks when the odds jump. Okay, or odds drop, excuse me. We will start off with Jinyu Shiyu from China. I didn't tell you where these guys are from. China versus Japan. All right, the Chinese fighter is Little King Kong, 13-2, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finishing a fight, so he owes us some finishes here. 2-0 in Road to UFC. That's part of a 7-fight winning streak. He's not lost since September 2020. Used to fight up at bantamweight, 2 inches taller than Tsuruura, an inch reach. Tsuruura is 8-0, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, 2-0 Road to UFC, was regional champion, 2 years younger than his counterpart here, and that is all I got for you.
Gumby. So I think Tsuruura is going to come in here as a pretty massive favorite. Let's say -325, probably like 250 on the return for Jinyu Shiyu. And I think obviously the play here is Tsuruura. And I think there's probably value in using him in parlays at this point. I actually was somebody who kind of wrote him off before we saw him in the beginning of this tournament. I know he comes from a wrestling background. It's a Greco-Roman wrestling background, which we talked about last week with Ballard a little bit. Not typically what you see in MMA, and sometimes it makes me doubt whether or not they can blend things together, because sometimes it goes really well and sometimes it doesn't. And going into this tournament, I was, kind of on team doesn't for Tsuruura. I didn't think he would hold up against a lot of these flyweights. And my goodness, is he held up well against these flyweights. He looked outstanding in his first round fight. And then he turned around and he got Mark Klimako in the second round, who is a guy who I really respects wrestling, has looked really good when he fought for LFA. And he took him down 8 times in that fight. And it wasn't even necessarily just the takedowns, because you could say, you know, he got him down 8 times. That means he got up at least 7 of them, right? And, you know, maybe that's a problem. But the thing for me is that even when Mark Klimako got up, Saruya, like, had control of his body. He has really excellent abilities to, like, get a hold of your arms and use that to work you either back to the mat or work you so that you just don't turn into him. And for me, that's everything in terms of like high level wrestling, particularly a weight class like flyweight, where you have to, you know, hang on to these like super explosive tiny guys. And Jinny Ushiu, you know, like, one of the things I will say about him is defensively, if you were talking about him fighting a striker, you would love the way this guy defends his face. Super high hands, way up in front of his face, almost like a Thai fighter, despite the fact that he's not a Thai fighter. The problem is he's fighting a wrestler, which now that's like the worst place your hands could be if you were fighting a wrestler like that. And he also sits heavy on his front leg. His right leg tends to stay way out in front of his body and it sort of plants, which means he's there for leg kicks often in the past, but also that probably means like the single leg is coming from Saruya. Because despite being a Greco-Roman style guy, like I said, he's got lots of doubles and singles that he works with too. That's most of what he got Klimako down with. So yeah, I like Saruya here. Anything in the 300 or early 300 range here, I think is probably good parlay fuel.
All right, throw him in a parlay, Gumby says. All right, we're moving up weight classes to, bantamweights. No, sorry, bantamweight was canceled. This will be featherweight. Kaiwen Lee from China versus Yiza from China. I should know how to say all these names since I've said them at least twice before, but them's the breaks, Gumby. Yiza is 24-4. 5 knockouts, 13 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-0, road to UFC. This is his second go around here. He's won 2 straight fights in 5 of his last 6. The one loss was technically in the UFC. It was in the road to UFC final. So these aren't technically UFC fights this time. Last year they were UFC. It's kind of weird.
Because they put them on the card, right? And I think that's why they're doing it this way now.
Yeah, good point.
And I don't know if there's something contractually that makes more sense for them that way, or it allows them to pay them less. I don't know necessarily it is, but it does.
It's definitely money.
definitely feels that way.
It's like MLB when they hold a player back to not start his service time. It's basically what it is. Because if they have a UFC fighter on their belts, then they're in the sponsorship deal too. And, you know, more fights that you fight, the more money you get in sponsorship money and so on. So yeah, it's a sleazy move, I'm sure. But anyhow, Yizha is technically 0-1 in the UFC because he lost in last year's final. He's fight at lightweight, 2 years younger than Lee, 2 inches reach on him. Lee, the underdog is the nickname. We'll see if Gumby agrees with that or not. 12-5, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 3 times. 2-0 on road to UFC. He's won 2 straight and 6 of 7. He's not lost since December of 2021. 2 inches taller than Yiza, but Yiza does have a 2-inch reach advantage. Is he going to be the underdog?
I think Yiza is probably going to come in as a favorite. Let's say we're going to get like -225 and probably like +190 on Kaiwen Lee. You know, just below 2-1, I think. And I'm going to go with Kaiwen Lee here. From the standpoint of Yiza, my big issues with him is that he does 2 things that I don't particularly like on the feet. Number one is he kind of swings big, and it's not just swinging big in terms of like, you know, like trying to knock you out with every single punch, but it loads up. And I don't like how much he loads up on things. And it also forces him into the clinch sometimes because he kind of overswings where his stance is. You know, he like crashes into a clinch, and he's not historically done very well in the clinch. Like if you look at his fight in, you know, the UFC, if you want to call it that, or his last finals, Jiangyang Lee kind of used that to his advantage and won the fight, you know, wound up being a split decision. I thought Jiangyang Lee pretty clearly won, but it wound up being a split decision, and mostly just because he didn't control where the fight was. And then so for Kaiwen Lee, I think he's going to get the better of the clinch because in his last fight, he did pretty darn well in the clinch himself. And then in addition to that, too, I do like the way he sits on his strikes better and the fact that he throws them a little bit straighter to the target. I also think he's a touch faster. I think because he maybe doesn't look like the most complete fighter is probably why he comes in here as an underdog, and because he was so close to, you know, having a UFC contract already, so he'll probably be the favorite here. But I don't think he's a better striker. I think the problems with the clinch are probably going to be too much, and I do like Kaiwen Lee's power. So yeah, give me hopefully some dog money here on Kaiwen Lee.
Well, if the nickname is anything, it will be an underdog. So the underdog, Lee, is the pick, hopefully as a dog. All right, the last fight of the night, we can call it a main event. They don't, but would be 3 5-minute rounds at lightweight for the lightweight championship. Rong Zhu versus Shin Haraguchi. So Rong Zhu from China, Shin Haraguchi from Japan. Haraguchi, 7-0 with 5 knockouts. He's 2-0 in road to UFC and is a regional champion. That's all I got for him. Rong Zhu, Little Yama is the nickname. 24-5, 15 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted 4 times. 2-0 road to UFC. He's won 3 straight and 4 or 5. He's not lost since February of 2022. 1-2 in the UFC. He's missed weight twice in the past, so keep an eye on that. See how he looks on the scales. And I guess he's probably going to, they'll be weighing in Friday when, with the rest of the UFC card. Was regional champion. Used fight up at, sorry, down. Bantamweight down at featherweight. 2 years younger than Haraguchi, 3 inches taller, 4 inches of reach. So he's going to be much, definitely much bigger than Haraguchi. All right, break her down.
So I think Rong Zhu is going to come in as a favorite, having been a UFC veteran. You know, like I think that that bodes well for him. How much? I'm having a tough time lining this because if I'm going to be honest with you, I think Shin Haraguchi should be a favorite. I personally think Shin Haraguchi is just going to absolutely run Rong Zhu right over. I love his wrestling. I love the way he works on top. I love his ground and pound. And I just don't feel like Rong Zhu can deal with that, especially because, like, man, the image of Rong Zhu that's, like, burned in my brain is him losing to Kazula Vargas. Like, do you remember Kazula Vargas in the yep. UFC? He wasn't good. But he did most definitely beat Rong Zhu. And then, like, shortly after beating Rong Zhu, lost to, like, or was it before or after? He lost to Brock Weaver. Remember the dude who fought dogs in Alabama? Yeah. And then, like, he lost to Jesse Ronson in, like, 90 seconds. And, like, you know, like, I want to say he was one in three, maybe 1-4 in the UFC. And, like, his win was Rong Zhu. And that's, like, burned in my brain because what it showed me was is that, like, Rong Zhu puts himself in a lot of bad situations by, like, he marches forward no matter what. He loves to come forward. And when you're fighting a guy who just wants to duck under one of your punches and take you down, that's a nightmare. That's stupid. And it doesn't ever work. And so for me, I think Rong Zhu is just going to run into enough of Shin Haraguchi's takedowns. Rong Zhu stuffed enough takedowns in his last fight to win. You know, he was fighting Sang-Uk Kim in that fight. And, like, Sang-Uk Kim is not the same at taking people down as Shin Haraguchi. But, like, if you also watch a lot of those takedowns, Rong Zhu's first instinct is to, like, try to punch his way out of the takedowns. That's not going to work against Shin Haraguchi. Like, if you don't immediately look for underhooks or stuff his head, you're going to wind up on your back. So I like Shin Haraguchi here. I think he probably either grinds him out to a ridiculous length or, you know, I wouldn't be surprised as a ground and pound finish here for Shin.
And what are we getting him for?
You know, so again, this one's really hard for me to line. I think Rong Zhu, being the UFC vet, is probably going to come in at the favorite. But I'll say, because I like Shin Haraguchi here, I'll say, like, maybe -175 plus 150 on Shin.
Okay. Got it. All right. Let's give you a quick recap, and then we'll get out of your ears. Be back in tomorrow. Don't worry. And your eyeballs if you're watching YouTube. Haraguchi and Lee. Hopefully both those are dogs for him. And then Tsuruya. Tsuruya as probably a big favorite, right?
That's right.
All right, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I'm sure you did if you lasted this long. Discord's place be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter sgpnmma, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer are the handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on the Instagram. Our YouTube, obviously, even if you don't want to watch us, if you could subscribe, that would help us out greatly. And thank you, everyone who has. Our numbers continue to go up. We are MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Catchy name, I know. My Substack is still up and running, moneymma.substack.com. Get a subscription. A free one will get you, at the very least, into my weekly pick'em contest for the UFC, which will be running again this coming week with the UFC back. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA Podcast. It will be dropping in your ears in a few days. Do we know who's on it this week?
Yeah, I talked with Max Payne Griffin, who is always a very interesting interview, and then Jamal Pogues, who's going to be fighting on Saturday as well.
He's snickering about Max Payne interviews, so it should be a good one.
I mean, he's always like, he's been on my show, I want to say like 5 or 6 times at this point, and he's always talking about some wild things, and like, he's usually got some new merch. Like, I don't know if you remember, he had like a partnership deal with like an earbuds company after he took Ramiz Brahimi's ear off. Yeah, he took like Brahimi's ear off, and then he like got a sponsorship with like some earbuds. And now, he's selling something new, so you'll have to listen to find out what.
Oh, fantastic. There's a good tease if I ever heard one. And, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your code there. And Underdog Fantasy, if you can sign up and use code MMASGPN, that would help us out greatly. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Little Yama, Jeff Fox, along with Little King Kong. Gonna be Vreeland. We're both gonna be little. We'll be in your ear holes and eye holes tomorrow. Bye.